Well, of course, this morning, the charges and countercharges in the aftermath of the attacks in Mumbai are continuing between Pakistan and India. Joining us now is Christine Fair, who's a senior political scientist with the RAND Corporation, joining us from Washington. Christine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We wanted to get a sense from you of the Pakistan side of the equation here. Already, we've heard from a number of people from inside India that there's tremendous temptation on the part of the Indian government to sort of push a hard line with Pakistan. Where does Pakistan stand at this point?
Well, in point of fact, everyone should be pushing a hard line on Pakistan. You know, this particular group that appears to be connected to this attack, and before I go further, I should point that, you know, India is also going to have to pony up some evidence. I was on the phone last night with a very well-respected and well-placed journalist who covers this issue, and the evidence does, in fact, appear to be compelling of Lashkar-e-Taiba's complicity. But that being said, India is going to have to be more forthcoming on the evidence. At the same time, this particular group has been operating in Pakistan with complete impunity. It was originally banned in 2002, but however, days or hours before the official ban took place, it reorganized under a different name, Jamaat-ul-Dawa. It has a website that's completely free and open, completely free and functioning. You or I or anyone, for that matter, can go there and peruse the website. It was delivering assistance to earthquake victims in 2005. This same group has been attacking U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan, in Kunar, in Nuristan. So the time has really long passed for the United States, working with its partners, to put a very firm line on Pakistan that this and other groups needs to be decisively eliminated.
Well, Christine, what do you make of this kind of rhetoric that we heard over the weekend coming out of Pakistan? Here's Shah Mahmood Qureshi, who's the Pakistani foreign minister. Take a listen.
We have nothing to be ashamed of, because this government feels that good neighborly relations with India are in the interest of Pakistan.
Now, is that just a whitewash, or is there anything to that?
Well, unfortunately, this is precisely the kind of language that we have always heard from Pakistan when a Pakistan-based group is alleged to have conducted operations outside of its borders. There is nothing atypical about that language. Now, a couple of important things to note about Pakistan. The civilian government doesn't actually control the military or its external intelligence agency, the ISI, and its control over domestic intelligence agencies is somewhat complex and disputed. So in some sense, the civilians probably had nothing to do with this. The question arises is, A, whether or not the attack in India was actually sponsored by this Pakistan group, this Pakistani group and its headquarters, i.e., was this really a Lashkar attack, or was this an attack perpetrated by people calling themselves Lashkar? And then the second question is, if it was in fact a Lashkar attack, Lashkar-e-Taiba, unlike some of the other groups in Pakistan, really hasn't broken away from the ISI. It hasn't targeted the Pakistani state. It hasn't become a rogue operator as some of the other militant groups has. And that naturally raises the question, therefore, if this was really a Lashkar attack, was the ISI involved?
All right, let me do an acronym alert here for our listeners who may want to actually go
that.
To the. No, so we're talking about Lashkar-e-Taiba.
Yeah, Lashkar-e-Taiba. And they frequently get called LET.
Right.
And the ISI is the Inner Services Intelligence Directorate, which is variously called ISI or ISID.
Right, and ISI is more familiar, I think, to our listeners, but there are going to be a lot of people who are going to want to Google Lashkar-e-Taiba or LET. So
The Indian agencies sometimes call Lashkar-e-Taiba Lashkar-e-Toyaba, but unfortunately that's an inaccurate transliteration of the Urdu. It is Lashkar-e-Taiba.
All right, one question about India. There's already talk that the Indian security forces missed this. If it's so clear to you the existence of this organization and its connection to Pakistan, how come the Indian government couldn't have been more vigilant here?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. First of all, even I, when this attack first broke out, I was very suspicious that it wasn't Lashkar. And the reason for that is that it was being reported that this was a hostage taking. And Lashkar had never before taken hostages. And it turns out this was not a hostage crisis at all. And you saw in the early handling of the Indian events that they thought it was a hostage taking as well. But there are a couple of different issues that are kind of packed into your question. The first is, what was the so-called intelligence chatter that the Indians had preceding the attack.
And there apparently was some.
There was some. In fact, my contact in India told me that the Indian Coast Guard even sent out a mission trying to track down these guys, and they couldn't find them.
Wow.
And I always like to remind people, even before 9/11, our intelligence apparatus, and we know this from the Woodward book, from all the various congressional testimony that's come out subsequently, we had various chatter about something truly horrific and gruesome taking place. Even parts of our government knew the 9/11 hijackers
right.
were in our country. Well, but we were unable to preempt that
Christine,
the Indians have the same problem.
Right. We've got to go to headlines here, but I have to ask you this question. Is this tactic of 12 guys with automatic weapons fanning out across a city something that's likely to be repeated outside of India, and are terrorism experts looking at this?
Well, I presume they are. I mean, one thing that comes from this is that what this required was planning, obviously, and good execution and good training. It turns out, according to my colleague in India, that these guys were, incredibly competent fighters. And this does raise the question about where they obtained this kind of training.
And where it might be applied next.
Yeah,
we got to go. But Christine Fair, thanks so much for joining
us.
Lots of tantalizing information in there. A senior political analyst with the RAND Corporation, Christine Fair, joined us from Washington.